Hi, my name's Leslie. I'm an alcoholic. It's always an honor and a pleasure to be asked to share my experience with Alcoholics Anonymous. The program gave me my life back, and I'm happy to be here. My sobriety date is September 15th of 2011. So I got to celebrate 10 years, and it was like any other day in the program for me, you know, just a bunch of days collected at once, doing the next right thing in front of me, doing what I was told by my sponsor, saying yes when I'm asked to be of service, and trying to give back to the program as best I can. I do have a home group. My home group is St. Pete Beach, YPG. I might be asking some of you to come share your story with us. I'm the speaker seeker for that group. And I have a sponsor. She only goes to online meetings now, and I think that's weird, and I don't really know how to meet her at a meeting anymore, so I meet her on the telephone, and I try to see her face-to-face. She does, like, the snowbird thing now, and she's really excited about it, and online meetings have really opened up some pathways for people to do more travel, and so that's the silver lining, I guess. I haven't sponsored another woman in a long time, probably because I don't go to enough meetings anymore. I really got busy with my life. My life is very full. I went back to school, and all the things that I wanted for my life came true and more. And it was hard with the pandemic to keep up with your consistent meeting schedule. I didn't really do well with Zoom meetings. I kind of check out when I'm online. And so I'm in this phase where I'm kind of trying out new meetings and going to some different groups. And so that's just where I'm at. I still do some service work. I still go into treatment. And I enjoy that. Just because it's nice to see where you how far you've come, just looking into someone newly sober's eyes. 'Cause I was in their place. I was gonna die. That was where I was at with my addiction. The party had ended. It was no longer fun, and I was gonna die. So, I mean, that's the truth of it. And my family wanted nothing to do with me, and it was like, take her to the sheriff's office. And I was like, I haven't committed any crimes. They're like, well, and so they just like took me to the nearest rehab in my town, and that place didn't take me. And so they took me to one of the best treatment centers in the nation. It just happened to be in my hometown, and I got sober in rehab. I personally needed rehab. I needed a lot of therapy. I had a lot of personality issues, defiancy, egomania, delusions of grandeur. I didn't really know these words until I went to treatment and I began my process through AA. This was a 12-step rehab, and I think it was just important for me to be there, and then it was important for me to build that foundation in the program. In the beginning, I just I set up my daily schedule just like they did for me in treatment. You know, every minute was regimented. You know, 7 a.m., I'm waking up, I'm eating breakfast, I'm brushing my teeth, I'm doing the dishes, and you know, this was in my schedule. I wrote it out. And I often went to two meetings a day when I was off, and I definitely went to 90 and 90. I really didn't know how to live in the world. I definitely didn't know how to socialize with my peers. I don't think I made eye contact with men in my first year. Like, I was just so afraid of falling backwards into old behaviors, into old habits. I definitely had a problem with men in my life. Part of the alcoholic lifestyle, I guess, for me was to, you know, be a philanderer. And I used to think it was cool, but then it got to a really sad place, and I really never wanted to go back. I wanted to have a stable relationship, and I wanted to have people that cared for me in my life. I didn't talk about my first drink. I started drinking about 16 years old, and I grew up in Gainesville, Florida, and I was 16 years old in the nightclubs, you know, telling college-age guys I was, you know, an adult and lying, and this was like an every weekend activity. I had a fake ID from the age of 16 to 21. I kept a handle of rum in my closet, and these weren't things that I really recognized as a problem at the time. I thought this made me more popular. I thought this made me fit in and made me feel a part of. And before alcohol, I never really felt a part of. I never really felt like I had arrived with people and the feeling I got from alcohol. I think by the age of 21, I was a daily binge drinker, definitely. It's very blurry. I remember getting kicked out of every place I went, being miserable to be around. Nobody wanted to party with me anymore, you know. And I had just become legal to drink, and the party was already ending. So I started to move into, you know, shiftier groups, younger groups of people, and I started doing lower and lower things to keep the party going or keep that feeling going for me. So by the time I checked into treatment, I was a polysubstance abuser. This is what cocktail I used when alcohol was no longer working for me. I had to use other substances to, you know, keep the party going inside of me, to not feel my feelings, to not feel bad. Because alcohol, I was scared of alcohol, was the truth. I was always doing things, and I became scared, and I didn't know how to manage it. So I used other substances to try to manage my drinking. And I became an IV drug user. I wanted to be so many things as a 7-year-old girl. Like, I wanted to be, I wanted to design sports cars, and I wanted to, you know, I had all these dreams and goals. And when I was in rehab, I remembered that part of myself, and, you know, I just had to do it. I just had to get my life back. And recovery for me has not been like an overnight magical thing. I've had a series of about 1,000 surrenders in this program, and many, many spiritual awakenings. I've had to get on my knees and say prayers. It was a difficult task in the beginning. I was never really a God person, and I have developed a relationship with a God of my own understanding. Powers of the universe, power greater than myself, whatever you want to call it. It's just a feeling that I get when I connect to that innermost part of myself. That's been the most important gift I could have asked for. And it's really hard to put into words. I've worked the steps several times. I've done a fourth step several times. I don't do a written inventory every night. I don't know how to be that disciplined yet. I really think what was the most beneficial step for me was getting to my amends and making things right with my family, getting to ask to show up for them and be there for them. I mean, I'm trying to think of all the ways I've gotten to be for them in the past 10 years. You know, showing up and doing chores for them, or being asked to speak at my grandmother's funeral. These are gifts of the program, and they're just remarkable. It's really quite baffling how this series of steps works for you, but it's pretty amazing. And I think staying involved in the program can be difficult. I think when I got to 10 years, I thought that it was going to be a scary time, that period between 7 and 10 years. I hear the people go back out, and I haven't had that experience. And all my friends are in AA, my husband's in AA, my Friday nights are spent with AA. I think it's just important to find people you connect with in the program, and just hang out with them, call them. You know, if you're not being annoying, you're not being resourceful enough in this program, because that's how it should feel in the beginning. You should feel annoying to everyone around you, and that's how you get it. That's how you get the program. You kind of get in the middle of what everybody's doing, and I'm so grateful for it. I'm starting to ramble, so thanks for letting me share.